This is Afternoon Programming with L.
All right, what's going on, everybody? This is episode, I have to look again, episode 19. I always forget what episode I'm on because it's like, it just goes on in my head. I'm like, I got too much shit going on. But it's episode 19 of Afternoon Programming. Of course, I am L, your host. And today I got another dope special guest on the podcast. It's hard to get you because I know you're busy. You're a busy man.
Ooh.
You always got a lot of stuff going on. You're always working. You're always grinding and doing a lot of stuff. But I appreciate you because you made time today. It's 9 a.m. when we're recording this. It's like
absolutely.
It's the first of the morning. But I know this is gonna be a dope episode. Let me just introduce you already. It's my homie Maurice Daniel.
L. Thank you for having me, sir.
Of course.
This is awesome, man.
This is like crazy, man. We were talking about before the podcast, or matter of fact, before we get into it, promote like your social media or what you want to push out there.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So you can follow me on social media. You can just like try to look up Maurice Daniel, and most of the time I'll pop up. My Twitter name is a little bit different. I mean, my name is Maurice Daniel, but you have to like type in Danny Ocean 226. Because like Danny Ocean is like, do you know who Danny Ocean is from Ocean's 11? Like, that's my guy, right?
Yeah.
I've always referred to myself as like the much smoother.
I could see that.
The much more melanated Danny Ocean. You know, much more melanated, much smoother than Danny Ocean. Uh-huh. But that's my guy, though. Like,
so yeah, the mastermind of everything. And
that was my moniker for a while. That was my it's like my, it's like one of my aliases, AKA Prosecco Poppy.
Prosecco Poppy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Those are my alter egos.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. But yeah, like, so anything Maurice Daniel, you can find that anywhere as far as like music goes on Spotify or iTunes or any platform, Bandcamp, SoundCloud.
You just released a new flip that you flipped at Silk Sonic. What was it?
The night after last night.
Yeah, that shit was crazy.
Yo, that was like, oh my goodness.
That record, that whole record, like, I love that album because it has that old school feel to it and the drumming and the... Just everything in it just is like very soulful, and
it's,
I love that.
It's super, yo. The thing that like I'm impressed with them about is like how clean it is. It's a super, like, it's everything so precise. Number one, and then number two, like, they are like bringing it like this like 70s soul pop that is extremely accessible to everybody. But man, it's pure art though. Like, so it's not. I don't think that there's any compromise in that. Like, and they're gonna do numbers, and I'm happy for those guys.
Crazy,
yeah,
it's crazy. But okay, dope. Make sure you follow Reese. Make sure you follow, man. Super dope producer, super dope content creator, everything. And you also do a podcast with Ra, Reese and Ra podcast. Yes. And so it comes out. It's really dope, man. Y'all are entertaining.
Thank you, sir.
It's hilarious. I was telling when Ra was here, I was like, man, sometimes I'd be being scared for you, bro. I'd be like, because it seems like sometimes I know y'all know each other and y'all be playing with each other. Sometimes like when y'all talk about topics and y'all have opposing sides.
Yeah,
I'd be like, oh boy, caught in the fire, caught in the crossfire.
You know what? I like that. Like, I feel like when you're we're recording, right? So you know, like, it's like the way that Obama speaks, right? Oh, Obama is super slow and intentional, and he thinks about his response. Uh-huh. He doesn't rush to say what he needs to say, right?
Yeah.
And so I know that there are women watching. And then I'm talking to my wife. I know that, like, so while I'm giving my responses, it's like, you got to think it through. It's not that, it just keeps you on your toes.
Of course, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's very dope. So follow on the Instagram, Bandcamp, everywhere, on Spotify, all the music platforms.
So that's Reese and Ra. Uh-huh. And then there's also the Beats, Brews, and Life show as well. It's kind of been in limbo a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's not going anywhere. And we're going to come back stronger than ever.
Man, that show is dope. I appreciate it because I remember I was on like one of the early.
Absolutely.
And it's so dope. Like the concept of it, I was like, yo, in a way, it's like a, how to put it? It's like a... You know how when you do wine tasting, it's almost like beer tasting, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's super dope where you talk to producers, and it's dope to hear the producers, how they came up, you know, how they got into production or, you know, what have you. And then also while sampling these different beers and stuff.
Yeah.
And you've introduced me to a lot of stuff that I'm like, damn, I didn't know this existed.
Yeah.
You know, because most people who aren't into beer kind of feel like, okay, there's just, you know, your Dos Equis, your Budweiser.
Yeah,
they don't know that there's actually... I guess the artistry side to it, where people are actually making these different things that are actually really good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So super dope. Shout out to that. So I wanted to ask you. So originally, if I'm right, you're originally from, where is it from?
I'm from Maryland. I'm from Hagerstown, Maryland. So our west of Baltimore. So western Maryland.
That's crazy. Because I remember when I first heard that, I was like, I have homies who are from Maryland as well.
Yeah.
And they talk about Maryland and like, I know I've heard you talk about Maryland sometimes, but what was it like growing up for you in Maryland?
Man, like, so the way I'm from in Maryland is different than a lot of other like places in Maryland. So you could tell, first of all, I don't say Maryland.
Yeah.
Right. And then like, that's a whole, like that's closer to DC. And then like, you know, Baltimore is its own language. Like it's a whole nother world. Right. Like I'm from Western Maryland. I'm from right on the Mason-Dixon line as well. So right across. So the town across from us, like directly north to us is Pennsylvania. And then, you know, not too far to the west is West Virginia. And then we're very close to Baltimore and Frederick and D.C. and all of that. Super close, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So growing up where I grew up at, it's like a super small town. It's not a lot going on. Mm-hmm. Like it's a tiny town.
Yeah.
And it's just, hey, Hawk. So it's just like, I just feel like growing up in the town that I was growing up in, I didn't realize how small that place was mm-hmm. until I started like moving around and like seeing different things.
Mm.
So like my hometown is like super small, not a lot to get into. You can get into a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love that place. I miss that place sometimes, but I'm glad to not be in that place.
How big, how many people are we talking?
We talking like 35,000 people, maybe.
Oh, wow. You know,
maybe 40,000 people, something like that. Wow. It's not a lot of people.
That's crazy.
It's a small town.
Okay, yeah, so then I know early on, some people might not know, but you were a rapper. Were you a rapper first before you were a producer?
I was a rapper first.
Wow. Okay, and like when did that love for like rapping come about?
Man, it's been there forever. Like I remember when I first discovered my own like songs.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the first songs was "Whose World Is This" by from Nas.
Oh yeah.
And I remember like being really little, like I was a kid, and mm-hmm. I remember just being obsessed, and everywhere I went, I'd ask people, what are you listening to? And I could, like, I noticed then that no other kid was into it like I was into it. Like it was different, right?
Yeah.
Like, I knew every lyric. I knew when the albums were releasing. I went to the mall every Tuesday. Like I was about it. Like
dedicated to it.
Yeah. And then I wrote my first rhyme when I was 10, actually, and I recorded it. So I had a little boombox that actually had a record feature on it. Like, my mother bought me this boombox where I could record my voice through the speaker, right?
Yeah.
So what I did was I looped up the Funkified instrumental on my mom's big stereo, took the little boombox, and I recorded this rhyme. And, like, I remember all of the lyrics right now. I remember it all. Yeah. That's 10 years old.
Damn, that's crazy. And so then, from 10, you were rapping, and then you kind of just kept at it for a while.
No, not at all. Like,
oh, really?
I did that one thing, and then like it just became like this secret thing that I knew. And then like every now and then at a cypher, I'd watch people, and then I'd jump into their cypher and go crazy. But like nobody knew.
Wow.
And like every now and then, people be like, oh shit. And like I wasn't pursuing it seriously because like being from where I'm from, like it being such a small town and like I'm not a gangster rapper. Like my mind, I was just like, this is not a thing. This is pre Kanye West. This is before.
This is like the times when it was like grimy and
exactly. It's super grimy. Yeah. It's like if you're not rapping gangster or like chains and whips, this like, what are you? And like I didn't rap like that. Like I didn't really know other backpack rappers. Like I didn't know that was a genre at all.
Yeah, and when you think about it, back in the day it was like, you gotta think about coming up, it was like a lot of Nas, Jay, and they were talking about drug dealing and shit going on in the streets, street stories, and like a lot of, you know, like you said, gangster shit. It wasn't a lot of this backpack like
nothing. The crazy thing is like Talib and Mos Def was accessible to me, but I wasn't checking for them at all. Not until I was grown. Like I was only listening. I was a Rockefeller guy. Like that was my you know, Beanie Siegel, and like that's what I was on.
Yeah.
Mixtapes, the locks, like that's what we were on. So I was that's the rap that I listened to. So I really didn't know that you could be a successful rapper who actually rapped about your life. I didn't know that was possible, so I never took it serious at all. I just rapped for my homies forever.
Wow, that's crazy. Okay, so then where does production come in? When did that come in to where you're like, you know what, is that something that you kind of like, I have to do this, or you wanted to do it?
Man, so production came much later. Like rapping took over at some point. Like I'm a guy that went to college late.
Okay, yeah,
I went when I was 18. That's not a story we need to talk about. Not good.
Okay.
Wasn't good. Okay. I went back when I was 23. And then like as I'm in college, like I'm starting to think about business ideas, and I'm listening to hip hop and rap at the time, and I'm like, nobody is making the type of rap that I want to hear.
Mm.
And that's when I started rapping, right?
Okay.
And I surrounded myself. So all of the people who I were hanging out with were all music producers. Like, oh, okay. So it's like me and like seven producers. None of them rapped. I was the only rapper. I'm wow. buying all my beats from them. I'm spending all of my time in the studio. It's all we do.
Wow.
And at a certain point, it was just like, you know, there was, I was hearing things that I wanted to be done. And mm-hmm. I was like, man, I need to try my hand at this. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're hanging out with seven producers. It's pretty easy to learn how to make yeah. music. So I just started learning from those guys. Wow. Like probably around like, yo, it's only been like 10 years since I've known how to produce. We're talking about like 10, 11 years.
That's crazy.
It's like around this time, like yeah. around this like exact time 10 years ago is when I first started producing.
Wow. Yeah. Damn. So that's, holy shit, that's crazy to think that it's only been like that. It's not that far off that you started.
No, damn. I started this late. I didn't know that these things. I like when like my homie Tino the Sam. Shouts out to Tino the Sandman. That's one of the guys who taught me how to make beats.
Yeah.
I didn't know about Fruity Loops until I was 26, 27. I didn't even know what the hell that was. I had no idea. I didn't know that you could like do this in your bedroom.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when I found out, I mean, like nobody in my like back home in my circle in my small town. Like, we were not, like, we were on other stuff. We were, right. Like, nobody around me was making music. So, when I discovered, like, a bunch of musicians and I, like, saw, like, people making beats on their laptop, like, I was mind blown.
Yo, it's crazy you saying that because it's, like, I always talk about this on, like, every episode when I'm talking to whoever's on the podcast. It's, like, things kind of line up when they need to line up. And it's kind of amazing how things line up when they do, when you're looking back at it.
Yeah.
Because, like, you talking about FL Studio, like kind of, it changed the game for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because back in the day prior to that, you had to have this expensive ass equipment in order to even, you know, the MPC and all these different things that cost a lot of money that were expensive. And FL kind of made it where you were like, I just got to pay $100 or crack it. And then just.
Yeah. Well, everybody had a crack version.
Exactly. Because like, I remember for me, I started producing when I was in high school, like going into my senior year. Because a homie of mine, what he did was we had this class, I think it was called like East something. I can't remember what it's more like. It was environmental type stuff, but we had a computer lab in the back. So what he did is on every computer, he put a cracked version of FL Studio.
I love that. Yeah.
And like,
I love it.
Whenever the teacher wasn't around, there'd be people on FL Studio and I would watch it. And I'm like, yo, what is this? And he knew how to recreate beats that he would hear. So I'd be like, oh, this shit's dope. And I'd always wanted to figure out how to be a producer because I would grow up listening to a lot of East Coast hip hop and I love the soulful boom bapness of it. And I was just like, I want to make shit like that.
Yeah.
And then he was like, yo, this is how you do it. Da, da, da. And it was very simple and easy to like understand.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's how I learned. And then from there, I went from like FL to like Reason to Logic.
Yeah.
And then Ableton and back and forth, you know. And so it's real crazy how that lines up because it's just timing, you know.
It's
what I
mean? All timing.
Yeah,
it's all, and even at that, like the craziest thing is that, like from rap to podcasting, like the vision, and it's not even podcasting at this point. Like my vision is completely different. Mm. My vision is just about creation. Like, so in my mind now, like I want to start creating like shows, like full like content shows.
Yeah.
And it's weird because I feel like that's a, like that came directly from me rapping.
Oh.
Like there's no, like it's not out of line with that, right? Yeah, like all of that lines up with rapping to production to, holy shit, that camera shot is kind of cool. What camera are you using? And then like, yo, wait, what lens is that?
Yeah.
You know, and then like, it just keeps going down this rabbit hole. And then, you know, and I've always been a writer and like, so all of those things are now like, now it's not rap or production, but rap and production as a part of this whole thing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's crazy how that happens. And so like, as a, when you started producing like your own records, was it when you were learning it, was it more so, were you doing it because you kind of be like, well, I can make my own shit and I'll rap over my own shit? Or was it like, I guess was it a money thing? You know what I mean?
Oh, no, money's never been a factor in this, which is weird. Like, I've never, I know a lot of people are trying to get to the bag, and, like, I applaud that. And, like, I think now that I'm, you know, now that I'm in my late 30s, like, that's become, like, an idea. Like, how can we get to the bag? But it's, like, first and foremost, it's purely, like, just creativity and, like, the culture, right?
Gotcha.
Like, I'm in love with the culture. Yeah. Like, it's, like it's everything still. Like I still am looking and checking for new music actively. It's everything to me. Like I wake up and I need to know what's going on in hip hop, like right now.
That's a good thing, man. Cause like I know sometimes, and I know this happens to, I think this happens to a lot of people over time in general, where you're growing up and you kind of have, you know, you're, there are moments where you're always looking for music and then people hit a certain age where they're like, well, these are the thing people I love, the artists that I love, and I'm sticking with them versus trying to say like, well, what else is coming out? What's new?
Nah, it's, I mean, like, I just feel like as far as like production, I mean, like, yo, if you ask me, like, I look at and listen to like Isaiah Rashad and he feels like, a Tribe Called Quest to me. Not to say that like his style, like it's nothing similar about those guys. But like it's so raw. It's so like, it's so raw and it's connecting with so many people that it's like, yo, you can't deny that this is like the purest intention of hip hop.
Of course.
Regardless of whether it's like a little bit different than like what I grew up with, it's like the purest intention of hip hop to me, right? And not just him. I mean, it's like we can go down the line of like newer artists that feel very familiar to me, even though like, you know, they don't even have to be the most lyrical or like super, like that's not the most important thing at the end of the day, I don't think. And I'm always, I'm listening to these young guys for like inspiration as far as production goes. Because you know, like when you listen with a producer's ear, you know what somebody did to like you hear that filter, like you hear it, and you're like, damn, man, like I'm gonna go home and try that one time, like and like that's, I'm inspired by a lot of it.
Do you have any people like OG producers that you looked up to as far as like that kind of influenced you?
Yeah, absolutely. Q-Tip is the greatest of all time to me. Like he's my favorite producer.
It's crazy. And like Q-Tip, he, you know, he didn't, I don't, at least I don't think so, he didn't have like a tag or nothing, so people don't be hearing like Q-Tip or whatever. So you kind of, it's like, I was like that because I'm a producer nerd and I'd be looking, because like growing up, I was a very big fan, still am to this day, of Ninth Wonder.
Ninth Wonder is,
I kind of always tell, I tell my girl this, I look at him as like a father that kind of like, I listened to him and I was like, yo, how do I get to you? And I would watch like videos, interviews and shit coming up and of like, him talking about records that he did and shit. Cause you know, he made, was it Threats, Jay-Z's record?
He made,
off of FL Studio?
I mean, he made the joint for Destiny's Child.
Is she the reason? That, bro, that fucking beat.
And it's crazy cause like you hear, you in it, or like you can hear like this, you're like, damn, you know what? That's like, I would have done that too. Well, not that I'm saying I'm Ninth. Nobody's Ninth. That's not what I mean. It's just like, it's relatable because you feel like, man, he's thinking in a similar way. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And so, okay, bet. Because I know growing up, some of my favorites were like Ninth Wonder, of course, J Dilla, OG. Who else? Bink, Ski Beats. Because like Ski Beats made one of my favorite beats ever, which was Dead Presidents too.
Ski Beats is crazy.
Stupid. And so, it's crazy. So then in Maryland, were you listening to like, were you exposed to a lot of Southern music as well? Like Outkast and things like that? Or was it more
Outkast
so East Coast?
Outkast was the shit everywhere. Okay. I feel like Outkast was just like, they were giants no matter like who you, like you could be Northern and you knew, you know that you need to listen to the Outkast album. Like it's important. I tried to listen to as much stuff as humanly possible. I was not super big on everything Southern, but I was big on a lot of Southern music. So like there was certain things, like I was crazy about Little Brother. I was a fanatic about Little Brother. I've been with Crit since the very first record.
Man,
I've never missed. I've never tapped. I've been with Crit since the very first record.
Yeah,
one of my favorite artists. It just depends. I mean, like, you know, like we were on 3-6 Mafia when we were in high school.
Okay,
like me and my little clique. But I've always been like a super boom bap, like lyrical. Like that's always kind of been like the thing that I lean towards a little bit more. But it's, I mean, when you, like, if you're inspired by music, I mean, like we listened to the Hot Boys. I thought it was crazy when it first came out.
Yeah.
Bone Thugs is crazy. Twista is crazy. Like all of those things were crazy, but I'd always end up going back to like Jay-Z and Nas, to, you know, Siegel and.
No, definitely. And cause like, I know I grew up, so of course I'm from Arkansas. And like, it's crazy because in Arkansas, it's kind of crazy that I ended up loving the East Coast a lot because there wasn't a lot of East Coast played in Arkansas. It was all like Louisiana stuff. So you have your Wayne, Hot Boys, you have Memphis, like that's above us. And then you have Texas that's like right here in the corner. So it's a lot of Southern music.
Yeah.
And so in order, it's, I don't even know. I think like one of the, like Jay-Z was probably one of the first artists I found. And I don't know how I found him. It was, luckily, I was born in like the YouTube era.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, back in the day, you would look up stuff and people, I think a homie of mine put me on to like, yo, you need to listen to Jay.
Yeah.
And I listened, and I'm like, yo, I was like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. You know, when you get put onto something and it just clicks. And so after that, I became like a crate digger. Yeah. And I was like, I have to, who else is out there that sounds like this? So, you know, that's how I found Mobb Deep, Nas, Ghostface Killah, all of Wu-Tang and stuff. And so it's like, and like 50 Cent and all these people, I'm like, who is these people? And it was funny because I was always like, in the South, like around the people that I was around, I was always considered a little weird because they're like, you don't listen to Wayne, you don't listen to, you know, all these down South. I was like, nah, bro, I love this boom bap shit over here.
Yeah.
And like, it's funny because I would always have this moment where I'd feel cool when I had like my first car, I'd be bumping like this East Coast shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You know,
you get your first car, like, yeah, like the first ride through, what you're playing is important. Like, that means something. You know, you want people to hear.
Exactly.
I've got taste with this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you want people to hear it a little bit.
No, exactly. Okay, yeah. Dope. So then producing for a while. So you're living in Maryland. How long did you live in Maryland?
I lived in Maryland until I moved away from Maryland, I want to say, like almost 10 years ago. Not quite 10 years ago. And I moved to D.C. Wow. Well, I moved to D.C. first.
Okay.
Which is not really a big transition. I mean, like, for coming from a small town to moving to the city is a big transition.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, that, like, opened up the world. Mm. And it was like, holy shit. Like, you can't get me back. Like,
gotcha.
I'm so, off to the races.
Did you move to DC for like work or just to get out of where you were from?
It was both. Like, I didn't have a job lined up. But I decided that I was going to move to DC. So I lined a job up, which was cool. I just graduated from college. Mm-hmm. And then I lined up a job, moved to DC. It was more of like a, like, my sister was like, hey, why don't you get out of Hagerstown and move to DC with me? And I was like, all right, let's do it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah, at first it was super, I think when I first moved away, like, I was, like, I miss home. Mm-hmm. I go home like all the time.
Wow.
And then after like a couple of months, it was like, yo, there's way too much going on out here. I'm not going home. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was crazy.
That's that, like, I'm a hometown mentality when you come from a small place.
Yeah.
Cause like, coming from where I'm from, it's like, it's not as busy as Atlanta. And at first it was like, it was almost like a big shock in a way where I was like, yo, this is a lot of shit. You know, everybody's moving and like fast, fast, fast. And then I would go back. But then after a while, when you've been in Atlanta for so long, I'd go back and I'm like, there's nothing left for me back here.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, okay, this is where I grew up. Don't forget about it. Now let me go make my own thing over here.
Yeah.
And so then you moved to DC. What brings you to Atlanta?
So it's even more of a why not. It wasn't even really like a why. We came to visit Atlanta probably like a year before we moved here.
Okay.
Came to visit. Me and my sister came out here for a birthday. Had a blast. I mean, I had been here before, but it looked brand new. And I was like, this does not look like the Atlanta that I've seen a couple years ago. Like, this is a whole nother Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I just remember feeling like, man, I could live out here. And then, I mean, both of us was on the same page. And it was, like I said, just more of a why not. It's no real reason. I came here with no job.
That's crazy.
No, like, I had one contact.
Wow.
Like, I had one contact when I moved out here. And, like, I have a whole life here now. I've got friends and family here now. You know what I mean? Like,
that's just crazy because that makes me think of, like, I know, I remember before I moved out here, and I've said this before on, like, previous episodes, but, like, so I went to college. And I went to school. Originally, I went for like business. I only did that because my mom's.
Yeah.
But then halfway through, I'm like, I fucking hate accounting. I hate all this bullshit, these numbers. So I went into film because I loved film. And then I was like, I'm going to move to L.A. And went out to L.A. to scope out some places. I'm like, I can't move here. It's too fucking expensive.
Yeah.
It's too much shit going on. So then Atlanta kind of opened up and like the stars aligned for me to move out here.
Yeah.
It's like Destiny was telling me, no, you got to come this way. And I'm like, okay, bet. And so I moved out here just like on a whim, but it felt like I was being pulled out here.
Yeah.
You know? And so did you ever have any other places? And you know what? I could see myself.
Nah, yo, man, the list of places that we were potentially going to move to, my sister and I talked about all of this. So we had Long Beach in the running, we had Brooklyn in the running, and we had Nashville in the running.
Wow.
Right? I'm glad we didn't move to Nashville. No disrespect to Nashville. Nashville's awesome.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Nashville.
I can't see you in Nashville for some reason.
Yeah, just... like, you know, I went back years later and I was like, this is cool, but I see, like, kind of, you know, how this may not have worked for me so well, right?
Yeah.
But Long Beach and Brooklyn, I mean, I could see myself here too. Like, I love California. I love Brooklyn.
I could see that, yeah.
But Atlanta, for me, like, when I moved to D.C., it was like, you know, I met a ton of people. I made some relationships, but it felt more like associates and more like just like you can grab a beer with somebody.
I got you.
I moved to Atlanta and like nothing's ever happened for me so fast. It felt like friends and family, like almost immediately. Wow. Like, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
I found myself on the right scene, meeting the right people, connected to a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
In a way that I'm just like, it doesn't happen like this fast anywhere. I mean, like I've been here for 5 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I've been here for 5 years.
Yo, it's wild. You say that. I think I've been here for either 5 or 6 years as well. So we moved here like around the same time.
Right. I would say pretty well. I don't want to say it like that. I would say we're connected to people, right? Yeah, I don't want to say it like that.
Yeah.
I'm saying like we have the tools and the resources. We know the people that we need to know. We have our circle. We can start work. Like we can go work really hard right now and make something good out of it.
Exactly.
And it's a really good feeling to be in that position.
It's crazy you say that, like how things happen so fast. Because literally, when I moved here, the first year I moved here, I worked with Gucci Mane and Zaytoven.
That is crazy. Like what?
Yeah, and like the shit lined up for me. And like after that, like I worked with them for a little bit, and then I went over to TI and worked with all these big Atlanta artists. And I was like, yo, how the fuck is this happening?
But yeah.
I didn't question myself. I was just like, well, I guess I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah.
And so then I just, you know, I was like grinding. I don't know what it was when you're hungry like that, you know, you're just like, I got to work. I got to go do this. Got to go do that. You know, I'm pretty, same thing with like music and production. You're like, okay, I got to make one beat today or I got to make three beats a day. Right.
Bam.
You know, it depends. But it, all the history that I have to like eventually, like you were talking about when I worked with Crit and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just like, holy shit, that. You know, I guess I was meant to come out here.
It's amazing. It's an amazing feeling.
It's wild.
Man.
So then you've only been here 5 years, you said?
Mm-hmm.
That's wild. And then when you look back, 5 years isn't a long time.
No.
It's not long at all. And like me knowing you, like outside of the podcast and everything, just we've kicked in and stuff, knowing all the things that you've done in those 5 years.
Yeah.
That shit is crazy. People don't realize like how fast shit can like go for you in that short amount of time.
Yeah.
And like, because it's crazy, because I've known you, not to put it out there, but like when you first met Ra.
And
then to now you married to Ra. Like, that's like wild
crazy
to me.
It's crazy. It's like the timeline. It's just like, I lived in DC for like 4 years. I left with like one friend. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, like one like real, like I had a bunch of dudes I could kick it with. Well, let me not say one. I might've had two. But, like, you know, I left with, you know, like, I had a couple of dudes I could make beats with, a couple of dudes I'd get a beer with, and I had, like, two guys I was like, okay, I guess you guys are my friends, right? Mm-hmm. We still are kind of in contact.
Yeah.
I'm here in Atlanta, and it's, like, 5 years, and it's like, no, bro, I got, like, a couple other families.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm tapped into this city in a way that, like, just makes this place feel like home.
Yeah.
It's different, you know?
That's just wild. That's crazy, because what was I about to say? I lost my train of thought. No, yeah. So a lot of shit can happen fast here because, like, it's crazy. At one time, too, I thought about moving to New York.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to move to New York, but I fucking hated it. Like,
yeah.
Just coming from a country perspective and then, like, going from where there's a lot of space to New York where everybody's on top of each other.
Yeah.
You know, it. I was just like, I really was only going to move there because I was talking to somebody at the time and I was like, this is a no.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
No. I got you.
But yeah, so then, okay, so coming back to being a producer, how many projects have you dropped? I know of like one.
Man, so if we're counting like the rap projects, which are like locked, secretly hidden in vaults.
Wait, hold on real quick. Do you have any like projects out?
There's
like
a ton of projects out.
Like in Spotify or anything where you're rapping?
They're not on Spotify, but they are all over the place. They're like SoundCloud and DatPiff and like, you know, that was a thing, right?
Well, yeah,
that was a thing.
Yeah.
Bandcamp. But yeah, like my old rap projects they're available. I don't think like most of them are on that Piff, but like the one that I really rock with was like the one that I did probably like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
It's still up on SoundCloud. It's up on Bandcamp. It's available.
That's great. Did you go by a different name back then?
When I first started rapping, I was going by Reese. And then there was some other dude named Reese. And then there was like Samaya Reese and there's like this other Reese and I was like, man, we just going to like, it was a really tough decision because I had made like two projects.
Oh, okay.
And then in the middle of that, I was just like, you know, I'm just going to change my name right now while it doesn't hurt. Like while nobody knows who I am.
Yeah.
We're just going to rock with the real name.
I feel you.
So yeah, I mean, I put out, so all together, let me count. So there's three. My blue sky. There's Out the Blue Sky. Kind of plain sight. It's probably like five rap projects.
Wow.
It's probably like five or six rap projects. Like from beginning to end, like full length projects.
Holy moly, that's crazy. So you dropped those. Amongst those five, was there like at a certain point where you was that including production for yourself, or did that start later in the project?
The production for myself started on like the second or third project.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, yeah, I was like going crazy by the time, yeah, by the time we hit the third project, I was already making my own beats.
That's crazy.
And yeah, like some of those projects are still fantastic, but like I'm just, you know, it, like the growth now, I'm just like, yo, I would never release that. Like we would do it way better, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The last one I'm still proud of, like the very last one I'm still proud of. I dropped a ton of beat tapes, but like there's a lot more in the pipeline. So how many beat tapes? Probably like three full length beat tapes, but like a couple of singles here and there.
Yeah, and then
SoundCloud's just very random. Like it's just a whole bunch of shit there. Yeah. And then like same with Bandcamp.
Of course.
A whole bunch of things there.
That's crazy. So then let me ask you. So then, because I know somewhere along the line, you kind of mostly focused more on the production side. You would rap every now and then, but like not as much as you would you say as you used to, right?
Yeah.
So did somewhere in the line you were kind of like, you know what, I don't feel like rapping anymore, or did you kind of lose like
I think DC had a lot to do with that, right? So like being in DC, like at the time, you know, I'm like I said, I graduated from college late. I probably graduated from college like 27.
Yeah.
So I get a job in DC at like 28, and I'm like, you know, I'm turning that corner. I turned 30 in DC. I'm 31, and then like, and as time is going by, I'm just like, at that point, which I think is silly now. At that point, I was like, man, you are getting a little bit old.
Let's just
like focus on this career. I started focusing on my job. And I started focusing on just making beats. So I could just be low key. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you.
But like the rap bug, like it doesn't go anywhere. Like it never goes anywhere.
I feel you.
So I don't think that the world has seen my last project yet.
Okay. You heard it here first.
So man. I mean, there will be another project. Whether that means I'm pursuing it like that, I don't know that that's what that means. I think it just means that I think I could do a whole lot better than a whole lot of other people, and I'm gonna put out something that I think is like from beginning to end, like my greatest body of work, and then I'm gonna never do it again.
Yeah, no.
And if it makes a splash, that's awesome. And if nobody hears it, like maybe like you know my people can listen to it when I'm not around. You know what I mean?
I feel you. No, definitely. Cause it's crazy because like I kind of struggle with that because me being this year I had turned 32, right?
Yeah.
And you know it's kind of like society and people around you kind of tell you by you know they kind of give you this timeline.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, by this age you need to have this right. You need to have this.
Yeah.
And same thing with like the rap game. That's people are like, I need to blow up by this age and do all this shit. But then I remember because like me, I started singing really this year. And because like I'd always been scared of singing, but I have shout out to my vocal coach Avery, and he got me right, and I was like, yo, I wanted to sing because I've always had a fascination with it, and I love singing, and what the fuck was I about to say? Maybe not this year, but I think prior year as well, you start to see like as you get older, people in a rap game, people are like, you're going to age out. You know, they have that whole thing. But then you have these amazing artists like a Benny the Butcher, who's like in his 40s.
Yeah.
Same thing with Freddie Gibbs. Yeah. And like all these dope ass artists, even though Wu-Tang, I know they started when they were young, but they're still going strong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, well, no, you don't necessarily age out. It's more so it's about like your how sharp is your iron.
Right.
And so... That's why I was asked that, because I was like, I wonder, you ever going to drop some more shit?
Absolutely. The way I feel about it now is like, I think at this age, like, the things that I could talk about, I think it's a little more refined, right?
No, definitely.
And I think, you know, like the way that I would approach this whole entire thing, I mean, because, you know, I've been doing it for a while now. Mm-hmm. I've been dabbling with music for a while. And now, you know, like we know the people I think that could help to make a project just be like, holy shit, like this is crazy. Like. But that's like that's my thing. Like I only want to do it. I think the goal is to just like to have some music where people are like, "Yo, this is crazy."
Yeah.
And then like if you can get to that space, then like nobody cares about your age.
Of course. Yeah.
Right. And like that's where my mind is at.
Exactly. If you're making dope shit, it don't matter.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. I was just imagining. I was like, bro, you'd be on some Danny Ocean shit.
Yeah.
For real. And so I'm like, okay, dope. See, that gets me excited because I'm like, okay, bit. Cause I was thinking, it's funny. I was thinking the other day, I was like making a bunch of like production and I was working on some sample packs and shit. and I heard some shit. I was like, yo, I wonder if I get Reese to rap on this shit.
Yeah. Yo, so, yo, you know, there's one guy who's been able to get me to rap.
Oh, really?
In the last, you know, like, I did something for him over the pandemic. I want to say it might have been right before the pandemic. You know Geng Arcade?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I rapped on his project.
Wow.
That's my homie from back home.
That's wild. So I ran across him, and I remember when I first, because I remember seeing the post where he mentioned you and, like, talked about the song. I was like, motherfucker, you know Geng Arcade? Because, like, I followed him, and I love, like, how he does his videos on production and shit.
Yeah.
So, that's crazy. That's
the
homie.
He shot, like, so when I was rapping, he shot all my videos.
Wow.
Like, he shot my first video, and then, like, him and I just kind of clicked, because he's really, like, he's a super creative. He's super cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But shit, man, like, that's, he gets me, if he sends me a beat, I'm rapping.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's super dope. Okay.
My man Tino, too. Tino, you know, every now and then, Tino will send me some things. I'm like, man, I need to rap again. You know what I mean? Like...
That rap bug come back.
But it's like people have to ask. You know what I'm saying? Like, but the crazy thing is like, there's a couple people who know about this. It's not many people who know about this. But like, if you come over to the crib, there's a secret stash. There's like a bunch of joints.
Yeah.
And like some of them are kind of crazy.
I feel you. I've only heard a few of them that you've played for me.
Yeah.
But then I've been over there. And so I'm like, yo, because this shit, it sound dope. And I'm like, yo, what the fuck? This shit's crazy. You need to drop this. And then you're just like, you know, hey, just...
It's just, you know, I guess it's just like, man, I had to reconnect with, I had to realign, I guess you could say, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So like, you know, I think the one of the things that happened to me while I was in DC is like, I was dating like these very well-educated, like got their shit together women.
Mm.
And it's like, you know, I kind of had my shit together a little bit, right? Mm. A little bit. So I was just like, man, just have your shit together. And like, I don't know why, like, I equated like rap with like not having your shit together. But for some reason, I kind of did, right?
Okay.
Which I'm not proud of.
Yeah.
But I could see like the fault in thinking that way now.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Because like, I don't know. I think that there was a part of me as like, man, this is a typical black male thing to do. I'm not gonna. What I mean? And like at some point I was like, man, you're not a typical black male, even if you rap every single day. Like you can like be exactly who you are. Like that's like you gotta stand true to who you are.
Exactly.
Like sometimes it's a difficult thing because we're thinking about what other people are seeing when they see us.
Yeah.
But like I can't if you can't get with like what I'm about, then we probably don't need to
exactly
be close to each other.
No, know? Definitely. And like, man, it took me like a while to like learn that. And like, luckily, like my partner, she's been helping me kind of learn that about myself. Because what happens, man, when we get into like the world and we have our peers and the people around us, sometimes we kind of hide ourselves, true selves, you know? And so then it's not until we're like, no, this is who I am. We kind of like are accepting of that. Then we really shine and we're like, okay, bet. And then people are like, oh, bet. Because most of the time, the people who really care, like, it doesn't matter to them what you do. They're just like, man, if it makes you happy, bro, hey.
Exactly.
That's that shit. So, and then the people who give a fuck, or if they feel some type of way, like, bro, I don't give a fuck.
Like, yeah, this, doesn't matter. Like, yeah.
It don't matter.
Doesn't matter.
You know, you're not, like, it's not going to affect me. It's more so about my happiness and my growth and shit.
Right,
and so, dope. So then speaking on music, I wanted to ask you, since I consider you like a music head or like an audiophile, you know, because you're always checking for music. Who's on your radar right now that you're really like listening to at the moment?
Oh, man. I got really deep into Mach Hami. I think probably a little bit before the pandemic and then even more so during the pandemic. Mach is one of my favorite artists right now. I got to say, Leanne LaHavis, even though like she hasn't put out an album in a couple of years, like I'm crazy about her.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like... feel like I'm still discovering things from her. So I think that she's crazy. It's so much. There's this dude named Sam Evian.
Okay.
It's like a little more like alternative. Okay. And there's a joint called Dreams, like, or Dream Free, matter of fact.
Dream Free.
And
okay.
That shit is crazy. Like, so it's, and that's, like I said, it's a little more, I guess, like indie, like alternative, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
It's like no rhyme or reason for the things I'm checking for. And it's a ton of like old school jazz. And I'm still finding like new people that I was not familiar with.
Yeah. It's crazy when you think about it. Cause like there's so much music out there, man.
We're never going to find it all.
But like, it's beautiful that it's out there. It's like the world, we have this big ass music library that's never ending.
Yeah.
And there's always music coming out every single day. And like, along the way, you're going to miss some dope people, you know?
Yeah.
And it's dope when you can actually discover, like, oh, shit. Because, like, I remember even still to this day, I'll do a little crate digging on YouTube or whatever. And I'll find, like, this old band. I'm like, yo, who the fuck is this? Like, this shit's dope as fuck. Like, I'll hear, like, old records. I'm like, I've never heard this before. This just sounds crazy, you know? But that's dope. So did you know about Mahakami before he worked with West Side Gun?
So, you know, I did actually, but like I went way back when I first discovered him and discovered that they had been working together way back.
Oh,
like, but he did a bunch of, he's been in this for a minute.
See, and I didn't even know that, cause like I only knew of him until West Side, cause like I know West. And so like, I only knew of him until he was like, yo, I'm working with such a, I'm like, who is this?
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, everybody, he'd been working for a while. That's dope, man. With Mahakami, shout out to him, and shout out to Griselda and everybody out there, man. They've been family for me for a minute since I first met West. I wanted to ask you, so then now I know you released I fucking forgot the single.
The Silk Sonic is called The Night After Last.
Night After Last. Right. So what do you have any goals for yourself, like as far as what's the next thing you want to do, or are you kind of just taking it like?
Yeah, man. Like, so honestly, I want to, like, there's this project that I'm working on called Serve 'Em All.
Okay.
And like, that just feels really good.
Yeah.
Right. And like, I like the album cover, and like, I feel like I'm gonna make some merch off of it. So like, that's like the goal. And I wouldn't mind like pressing up some vinyl for it too, because I want some things to be able to like still stand. Like, when I'm not here. Right.
Okay.
So Serve 'Em All is like something I'm really proud of, but like some goals for this coming year, I really want to work with a lot of artists this year. So I think it's really, for the most, I've worked with some artists, and it's just really kind of been about my little corner of creativity and like just being in my own little space. But I'm trying to open the doors up a little bit and like actually like work on projects with people.
Gotcha.
So and to be perfectly honest, I have no shame in saying this, like I absolutely, like I want to go to the league. Like, I'm not even gonna sit here and tell you that I don't. Like, I want to be featured on a prominent like hip hop album that I care about.
Nice.
Like, I would love that. Okay. Like, that's the goal for 2022.
I feel it.
Yeah.
Man, that's so dope. I dig that, man. I can't wait to see like what else you got. Cause it's always, you always drop dope shit. And so, and it's good to like not only call you my friend, but be a peer around to see the dope shit. Cause like there'll sometimes, bro, I'd be listening to like some shit you'll make, or like Stolen Drums, shout out to Stolen Drums, or just anybody in like the producer community here, where I'm like, God damn it, man, I wish I fucking made that
beat. I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about, yo.
You'd be like, God, it makes you want to work harder on your shit. Yeah. You know, you're like, okay, bet I need to make some dope ass shit. So it's like, I'm excited to see what you got coming.
Yeah.
And so it's super dope. Okay, so dope. Well, that's episode 19, but before we go, one more time, man, promo, you know, your social media or anything you want to push out there.
So anything Maurice Daniel Music, you can find me there. So you can find all my music, just search for Maurice Daniel. I have a podcast with my wife. It is called the Recent Ra Podcast. You can follow us just by looking for Recent Ra. I don't think it's too many other couples named Recent Ra. There's a couple named Recent Ray. We were caught off by that. It was like, it was a little like, Recent, whoa. Recent Ray. And they're like YouTube. They're like up. It was just different.
Okay.
And then also you can find my other podcast, Beats, Brews, and Life, if you just look up Beats, Brews, and Life. Yep. So just search for all of those things. It's a lot of things coming in 2022. So we're revamping everything.
Hey, turn up. Make sure you follow him in. If you're watching on YouTube for Afternoon Program, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Rate and review really helps reach out to new listeners. Make sure you follow Afternoon Programming on Instagram and on TikTok, because I got a TikTok now, so I post some shit on there. And other than that, man, we'll catch y'all on the next one. Peace.